Howard Saxtina joining us, as well as Luba Mayakisa. Luba, good morning to you. How are you?
Howard, I'm very good. I see you're struggling to pronounce that cheese name. I'm good. Just had a little trip to drop off our daughter at school. Kicking and screaming. She wasn't happy.
Why?
Telling me how this should be legal and everything else.
Why?
Well, she returned back to grade 10.
Oh, gosh. But hold on. So they returned back when? Today?
Today, yes.
And she was not having any of it.
She's not happy. Well, she went, but all the way to school on the drive, she told me how criminal this is to send kids back to school in the height of lockdown and everything else. And all her friends who told her that they tested positive, or the parents or something, who knows. You know, you get to the school and disinfect your hands, thermometer, you have a long queue of cars, and at the end, they're being tested again. I don't know if it'll help. Because it just simply tests them before they get to school, but doesn't explain how they'll behave once they get there. I mean, they're supposed to, between each class, we'll have 10 minutes. So, you know, somebody in the school will try and wipe the desk clean and everything else. It's going to be interesting, but she's not happy.
Look, it's a very scary situation. The numbers, by the way, are very much on the side of our kids, because there's almost no, you know, certainly if you look at the stats across the United States, kids are, they might get the, they might contract COVID-19, but they don't get it seriously.
Just on that, is it assumed that after 2 weeks of quarantine, when somebody has tested positive for COVID-19, is it assumed that after 2 weeks they are clear of it?
No.
So they should go and test.
No.
What?
No. You need to be 72 hours symptom free. Sorry, Luba?
The assumption is that people, maybe that's the medical view you're giving, but the public view, I've seen on my son's WhatsApp group at the company he works at, a weekend job, people there clearly stating, no, after 14 days you can go. I know staff will tell me that they've worked for big retailers who are literally the 14th day have been called and told, come back to work.
Wow.
People are literally resuming work on the 14th day, going for testing. The assumption is, sit out, because people are saying it's only 8 days and the rest is just extra cautious. I promise you, people are going back to work on the 14th day. Nobody's being tested. If there are, it's a few.
Because my mom is going back to work today. They were closed for 2 weeks because one of her colleagues tested positive for COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her yesterday, is she COVID-19 free? Has she tested again? And my mom's like, no, she doesn't have to.
She doesn't actually have to test again, but she is meant to be 72 hours symptom free.
Apparently she's never even had symptoms.
Okay, so then probably she's fine. Then it probably is fine.
I don't know.
After 14 days.
I'm very uneasy about it.
The problem is they can't manage it. We can't get through that amount of testing of people just to confirm that they've recovered.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand that. You know, that's just a practical issue. Howard, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think this is something that one should take medical advice rather than lay people's advice.
No, I like Sanati's advice, actually.
Howard, this is disappointing. You don't have an opinion?
Yeah.
No, I actually do, but I follow the doctors rather than the lay people.
Well, no, but so just to be clear, I am following what I am quoting is Dr. Anton Meyerberg from our Sunday podcast, where he said very clearly, 72 hours symptom free, you considered to be safe again.
We agree, however,
about 14 days.
But I'm just simply saying that I don't think people are actually sticking to that, because there's almost this magic rule that once you hit day 14, you can go back. And I'm hearing that all over the place. And I mean, I've seen people argue on social media about it. And that's
because,
what I kept my son.
Because it is really, really the rule of the imbeciles. So we can repeat what the very stupid people are saying, but it doesn't gonna make it right. We need to follow medical advice.
And the problem is,
people are dying.
Yeah, well, so this is the problem, Howard. It's exactly right what you're saying. The problem is that it's the morons who are causing all of the issues around this, because by not being careful and by deciding that they are listening to information that somebody sent them from somewhere that they heard via nowhere.
Someone called Karen and it said on, please forward this to all your friends and family.
Exactly. At least 10 or you will die from COVID. But it's a huge, huge problem. You know, our society is as strong as the weakest link, and we have a lot of links that are very weak. They were, as I've repeated this so often on the show, born in any other century, they would have not survived into adulthood. They would have run into a fire or rather than away from the fire. Now we've nurtured and we've written on their coffee cups, be careful, this is hot. And on their shampoo bottles, we've written, please do not drink this. We have mollycoddled them to the point of complete ignorance. And now they are running around spreading COVID willy-nilly everywhere.
I'm going nowhere. You're going to have to drag me.
Get you out of here with a crowbar. But
exactly.
Yeah, so we are trying to get Luba Mayakiso back whilst we do. Okay. Luba, are you back with us?
Chances you called me on my phone, not on my laptop. So what happens on the phone is somebody tries to call me, it then just puts the
Skype on hold. Pause. I got it. Okay, so tell us about that article you were reading concerning the Eastern Cape.
The Premier is saying that they should test everybody who dies in the province for COVID-19. And the MEC for Health is saying they don't have enough kits for that. It's practical. But, you know, he's claiming that everybody must be tested so that they can know who was around you and for contact tracing. Yeah, I don't know. So
look, I feel like we should put the army to good use and we need to lock off the Eastern Cape. No good's coming out of there, Zanati.
Mm-hmm.
I know your mother's there, but maybe we can get her out before and then lock off that. We need to block off that province. It's chaos down there.
They have sent, I think an army plane arrived with nurses and doctors to assist the province. The Premier asked for help, so they sent that through. But the challenge is that I think their procurement is quite far behind. And, I mean, they're now trying to, they put out a tender for field hospitals that only closes on Friday. Now, whereas other provinces like the Western Cape have already built those field hospitals, you know, a month or two back. So there are some challenges. And then there was the drama, of course. I'm sure you saw the social media, that invoice that was circulating for 3 million rand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. From Mtata, turns out.
From Mtata, the person claims to have done education on COVID-19 during lockdown 5. Apparently it was genuine. Because I thought it was a hoax people are supposed to say that was a genuine invoice. Whether it's been paid or not, I don't know.
So I found out that the lady who actually owns the company is a neighbor of my flatmate's mom in Mtata. So
it's real.
It's very real. Very real.
So basically Zanati's on the gravy
train. And she just bought a Mercedes-Benz a few weeks ago. So
that story pains me. When I hear that story, I feel a physical pain because we so desperately need this money to go to the right places.
Yeah.
It's really frightening. Very, very concerning. Very, very concerning indeed. Luba, have things settled in Cape Town? But the numbers seem to be tapering slightly. And I don't know if that's because they're not testing everybody or if that's because there is, because you passed the peak down there and things are improving.
I don't know, Howard, whether we passed the peak. You know, last week, Friday, I took a drive with my daughter and we went through Langa and Gooks and a few places. I mean, my daughter was shocked. The number of people that I saw actually wearing masks was very little. I mean, if you just drove around the streets, most people had them as chin guards or not at all. You would see a mother walking with four kids holding hands. The guys who were, the vendors, they just wear masks. It was just unbelievable. My daughter said to me, Dad, have people never heard of masks? Oh, this is a different world. And so if it's down, I'm not quite sure why, but certainly in terms of wearing masks and that regulation and sanitizers, I'm not seeing it in some of the places that were quite high. So maybe mercifully we've got through the peak or I don't know, but I was shocked at just the level of adherence that I saw around the province.
Howard, your observation around Gauteng and places that you've been, are people adhering?
Well, I can only tell you what's happening in my lounge and my dining room because that's my entire existence.
And are people behaving in those areas?
Well, there's no one in my lounge and dining room, so we are having about 100% compliance rate at the moment.
Okay, so it's actually very, very high.
But sorry?
You're not leaving home.
No. Have you not noticed there's a pandemic happening outside?
Well, thing of me, I'm struggling to walk. I've got a daughter who's putting on a crazy 75-something, so I've been made to give up alcohol for 2.5 months, and I've been made to exercise every morning and afternoon. And I woke up this morning and to put one leg in front of the other one. You know, my mind thinks about it, but the legs are not interested in doing it. I've got aches everywhere.
And you've got a massive cold front about to hit you guys down there in Cape Town if it wasn't bad enough.
Dad, even in rain, we must do this thing. You must walk. I'm not sure why.
What kind of terror is this that you're living with, Luba?
I promise you.
Tell her to get a job.
Luba, start the alcohol again. It will help you.
Definitely.
No, I've got to go back to day one. You see, so if I don't drink a gallon of water, and I'm saying to her, child, that's almost 4 liters of water. I've never drank so much water. I'll probably have, you know, kidney problems from that water. So I'm drinking so much water. I'm being force-fed. I've never eaten 3 meals a day since I can remember. I usually get away with one or two.
Intermittent fasting, that's the way to go.
It really is, Luba. I have to say, I first heard about intermittent fasting from Howard when he, though back in those heady days where he could still come into studio. And I have to tell you, I've done intermittent fasting the whole way through lockdown. I find it to be tremendous, absolutely fantastic.
I tried keto, you see, that's what I wanted to go with. But I'm too lazy to cook, Howard. But you see, I can get around those 2 meals, you see. I don't want to prepare 3 meals. So I'll tell you how it goes. I mean, I'll save a little money, you know, not drinking anything for the next 2.5 months. I'm not sure.
As though we haven't suffered
enough. But I'm supposed to read for an hour, not fiction. So it's difficult.
Wait, so it's like a whole lifestyle thing. So you have to exercise. You've got to drink all this water. You've got to do no alcohol. What else?
Exercise in the morning, exercise in the afternoon. You've got to read for an hour. Something motivational, non-fiction. I don't know where she found this thing. And then, so morning and afternoon exercise, no alcohol, and then you choose a diet. So I chose keto. She chose clean diet. I don't know what the heck that is.
Mm. Hold on, is this the daughter that's at school?
No. That's the one that's with soldiers. So you've got to stand in front of the mirror and take a picture of yourself every day. I refuse to do that one. I said, no, I don't want to frighten myself.
I thought because if there's one at school, then while she's at school, you can drink yourself into oblivion and she would never know.
But not no, from the 4 gallons of water. Like, you have to drink enough water to fill a bath.
Yes, that's my problem. And you've got to take a photograph, Howard, every morning in front of a mirror. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. So
what do
every
you do
night,
with that photograph?
Well, it's your evidence. You don't have to share it, apparently. But I'm struggling, I promise you. So every night she says, you know, I've got to send her a message saying 5 out of 5. I don't know what the other things are, that I've done all 5 things. So I've cheated my way through. I couldn't drink the 5 gallons yesterday. I tried. I mean, it's water.
So let's understand what the effects have been. How are you feeling? How has it been?
It's day two. My body's aching. That's all I can tell you.
Oh, it's only
day two.
And
you're already complaining.
No, he's practically Jewish.
The exercise is killing me.
Yeah.
The exercise is killing me.
This is only day two.
Wow.
You're not even sober yet.
Howard, I was told to do 30 minutes of steps.
Oh.
Right?
No, that's too much. At your age.
Now you understand. Now you understand.
Oh,
look, do you think Luba will survive long enough to be around for next week's show?
I'm now worrying about this. I'm going to predict the following. Luba, don't listen. Next week, he's going to come onto the show full of energy, and he's going to be berating us for the shoddy and lazy, miserable, alcohol-fueled lifestyle that we've been living. He's going to be like a missionary next week. Watch.
I hope so.
And we will hear him busy panting in the background as he does his 30 minutes of steps during the show.
Exactly. Exactly right. It is 8:50.
The worst part is walking and you hear all these beautiful aromas and smells, and I know that I've got to stick to my keto diet. That's the most traumatic.
It actually sounds terrible. Luba, you've depressed me more than COVID has. Time is 8:57. Thank you, guys. We'll catch you both next.